Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a topic that's actually pretty surprising and really crucial. We're talking about the serious liability risks you face if you own raw, undeveloped land, especially, big chunks of timberland. It's one of those situations where, well, you could be doing everything right as a landowner, and then bam, a simple accident happens involving someone you never even invited, and suddenly you're facing a huge, expensive lawsuit.
That's absolutely right. And our goal today really is to cut through some of the confusion. We want to analyze the specific dangers that are kind of buried in vacant land liability insurance policies. We're going straight for the gaps you find in standard property coverage, and we're focusing hard on the legal twists around people who aren't even supposed to be on your land, trespassers.
Yeah, because most people, when they think property liability, they think about covering the people they did invite, like maybe a friend you said could hike there that's a licensee, right? Or perhaps a surveyor you hired an invitee. Standard insurance policies, they usually handle those folks. But here's the real vulnerability. The group that's often not covered, making this specialized insurance so vital. The trespasser. Okay, let's unpack this. It feels like a bit of a legal trap.
Well, the need for specific timberland liability insurance really comes down to defending against lawsuits started by people who legally have no right to be there. And that's a huge difference. Your general liability policy on your house or maybe a small business. It often explicitly excludes or severely limits protection against trespassers. It basically leaves a remote landowner, well, kind of exposed.
Okay, so we need to nail down this definition fast. Because trespasser sounds, maybe malicious, like someone intentionally doing wrong. But the insurance scope seems much wider than that. Who exactly counts as a trespasser in this liability sense?
It's actually pretty simple and often completely accidental. A trespasser is defined as basically any individual who sets foot on your land, could be by accident, could be on purpose, without your explicit permission.
So not just someone sneaking on to, steal wood or something, but literally anyone who just crosses an unmarked property line.
Exactly. Just think about some common scenarios like the ones in the sources we looked at. Maybe a neighbor who, misreads their map while hiking near the boundary, or maybe a hunter from miles away who's tracking a deer and the deer runs onto your property and they follow. Could even be someone lost on an ATV trail that happens to cut across your land. Point is, if any of these people get injured while they're on your property, even if they were technically breaking the law just by being there, and they feel that you, the landowner, somehow contributed to their injury, well, your whole financial investment is suddenly at risk.
Right. And this is where the legal system can feel completely, upside down to a property owner. Here's where it gets really critical for you listening right now. The legal fact is, even though someone comes onto your private land totally uninvited, you, the landowner, might still be held liable if that person gets hurt. That just feels like it goes against our basic sense of property rights, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And this liability exists because the law is trying to balance, private property rights against a general duty of care for human life. It's a balancing act. The legal sources we review detail two really critical distinctions. These determine how responsible a landowner is towards these uninvited guests. Understanding these two scenarios is really key to getting a handle on the risk involved.
Okay, let's dig into those two liability situations then. It sounds like they hinge entirely on whether the landowner actually knew the trespasser was there.
They do, yeah. The first situation is when a landowner is aware that trespassers are on their land. If you know they're there, maybe you've seen them cutting across your fields every day, or perhaps they've even told you they hunt there, then you take on a duty. You have to exercise what's called a reasonable amount of care to make sure your land is safe for them.
Okay, reasonable care. That sounds, well, manageable if you actually live on the property.
Yeah.
But how does that work for timberland? You might only visit, say, 4 times a year.
It means if you know trespassers often use a specific path, right? And you also know there's a new unmarked danger, maybe an open trench from some recent logging work you had done. Then you have a duty to proactively mark that danger clearly. Or take steps to warn them somehow or keep them out. That awareness, it triggers the reasonable care standard. And failing to act quickly, well, that's a fast lane to being found liable.
Okay. Now, the second situation. This sounds like the really dangerous one for most remote landowners. It covers the vast majority of cases on vacant land where you have absolutely no idea who might be crossing your boundary line at any given time.
That's the more complex one, definitely. If a landowner has no knowledge of trespassers, they generally still have some responsibility, but the standard changes quite a bit. In this case, the landowner is only responsible for their gross negligence if there's some hidden hazard that causes an injury, a hazard that really should have been dealt with.
All right, let's pause here for a second. Gross negligence. What's the difference between just simple negligence, like forgetting something, and gross negligence, especially for remote, vacant land? This feels like a really crucial point.
Gross negligence implies something more extreme, like a wanton disregard for the safety of others. It's not just forgetting to clean something up. It's more like knowing a really serious, potentially deadly hazard exists and actively choosing to just ignore it, even if you don't know specifically who might run into it. For vacant land, this could look like, say, leaving known huge pitfalls unmarked, or maybe abandoned wells just left open on property people tend to walk across. It could also involve leaving, I don't know, heavy, unstable logging equipment parked precariously on a slope where, neighbors sometimes hike.
Got it. So if a trespasser trips over a tree root that was just there naturally, or maybe falls in a small dip in the ground, that's usually not gross negligence. But if they fall into like a 30-foot deep, uncapped old mine shaft that the landowner inherited, knew was there, but never bothered to fence off, that's starting to sound like gross negligence.
Precisely. And, while many states do have laws that kind of favor landowners by setting that high bar of gross negligence, those laws unfortunately don't stop the legal process itself from starting. The sources really emphasize this. Those protections don't actually prevent a trespasser from filing a lawsuit. It might be frivolous, it might be speculative, but you still have to respond legally.
And that cost of just defending yourself is often the real killer, isn't it? Even if you eventually win the case because, okay, the gross negligence standard wasn't met, you could easily burn through tens of thousands of dollars just proving you weren't grossly negligent. That's the main financial threat this specialized insurance is designed to counter.
Absolutely. The policy isn't just about, paying a settlement if you lose. It's critically about funding that legal fight needed to defend you, whether you win or lose in the end.
Okay, so that leads us nicely from outlining the problem, this inherent risk of trespasser lawsuits, straight to the solution: specialized vacant land and timberland insurance. The source material we looked at points to organizations like the American Hunting Lease Association, HLA. They provide coverage specifically built to defend a landowner's assets from lawsuits brought by all three groups: licensees, invitees, and crucially, trespassers.
And the reason an organization like AHLA is important is that specialization. They really understand the nuances of things like hunting leases, remote land access, and the specific laws that apply to vacant acreage. That often means they have a more robust, specialized defense network ready to go compared to maybe a general insurance carrier.
Right. Let's get into the policy specifics then, the actual numbers, the concrete protection. What are the key financial benefits that you, the listener, should know about?
Well, the protection limits are pretty substantial. The policy offers $2,000,000 in aggregate coverage and $1,000,000 per occurrence. These are the practical details you need to grasp.
Okay, let's just clarify those limits quickly, because the difference between aggregate and per occurrence can sometimes be a bit confusing.
Sure. $2,000,000 aggregate. That just means it's the absolute maximum total amount the policy will pay out during the whole policy period, usually a year. Doesn't matter how many separate claims or incidents happen, the $1,000,000 per occurrence, that's the maximum the policy will pay for any single incident, like one big injury lawsuit. So if you had, say, two completely separate major trespasser injury incidents in 1 year, the policy could potentially pay up to $1,000,000 for each one, as long as the total payout for the year doesn't go over that $2 million aggregate limit.
That makes sense. Okay. And what about those immediate costs you mentioned, the defense fees? Is there a deductible involved?
Zero deductible. That's a really critical feature, especially when, like we said, the main threat is often just the cost of defending a lawsuit. A zero deductible means when a claim comes in, the defense costs get covered right away. The landowner doesn't have to pay that first chunk of the bill out of their own pocket. Plus, the coverage itself is incredibly fast. Next day coverage is usually available, and the certificates, often emailed within 24 hours of buying the policy. It really highlights that this protection is designed for, well, immediate needs.
And beyond just the money side, the core financial protection, the policy also includes features aimed at mitigating risk, right? Things that address those legal scenarios we talked about, specifically things that help the landowner prove they were not grossly negligent.
Exactly. These bonus features, you could call them, are really designed to strengthen the landowner's position before a lawsuit even happens. They include things like getting a custom created, attorney-approved liability waiver. Now, that's mainly useful for your invitees and licensees, and using it is optional, of course. More practically, for just vacant land, though, they give you a free landowner guide to make your land more safe. It's a PDF checklist, basically. Helps you identify and eliminate exactly the kinds of hazards that might later be argued as gross negligence in court.
And it also helps with the whole issue of awareness and providing warnings, I imagine.
Yes. They also include 12 free no trespassing signs, which sounds simple, but it's a vital tool for actually establishing your boundaries. And under some state laws, having those signs up might help mitigate your liability. Plus, the landowner gets a free membership to the American Hunting Lease Association itself that connects them to specialized knowledge about managing land access and reducing risk overall. These resources are all about turning what feels like a passive liability risk into something you can actively manage.
So wrapping this up, what does it all really mean? I think the core takeaway here is pretty clear. Your standard property insurance, it's just fundamentally not enough for protecting vacant land or timberland. It fails because it doesn't account for the single biggest liability risk, the uninvited guest, the trespasser. You need specialized coverage because the legal system actually holds you, the landowner, accountable for the safety of trespassers under those two critical standards we discussed. Reasonable care if you know they're there, and gross negligence if you don't.
And that brings us right to our final thought. Just consider the practical challenge you face as that remote landowner standing in court trying to meet the gross negligence standard. You might live hundreds of miles away, maybe visit twice a year, yet the burden could fall on you to prove you are not grossly negligent if some hidden unknown hazard injures a trespasser you never even knew existed. That burden of proof, it's significant. So by actually using those policy features, reading the safety guide, putting up the signs, leveraging that specialized defense network if needed, you're actively building a legal record. You're creating documentation that shows you took proactive care. And that's truly the best defense against a claim of gross negligence down the line.
It's about turning a potential legal weakness into a documented defense strategy. Well, thank you for providing the sources for this custom deep dive into vacant land liability. Really important stuff. We'll catch you next time on the Deep Dive.